New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Week 8 winners and losers coming right up here on the College Football Daily. It is Monday, October 25th, and I'm Trey Scott, about to be joined by 24/7 Sports national college football writer Brandon Marcello. He's got some heat on Oregon. Don't think he was too impressed with the Ducks' win over UCLA in the Rose Bowl. I had had Oregon as one of the winners of the weekend in my, no, not my, in our college football overtime column, which I wrote this week with Chris Hummer out attending someone's wedding. I had Oregon as a winner. I had Iowa State as a winner. I had Pitt as a winner. For the losers, I had NC State blew it at Miami with the ACC standings. They needed that win. Memphis, I know you're like, what, Memphis? But really dropping a lot in the G5 ranks. Not an impressive team anymore. Was one of the constants of the American Conference, and Memphis does not look good right now. And then, of course, Penn State. And I just realized that Brandon and I forgot to talk about the Nittany Lions losing to Illinois on Saturday in our full discussion. So let me just do a little thing on that right now. 20-18, 9 overtime, so technically the longest game in college football history. It's not really true. They go to 2-point shootout attempts at the third overtime. The rule, I don't know if I like it. It was made to reduce fatigue and shorten the game so we don't have a 7 overtime disaster like we did a few years ago with A&M versus LSU. Instead, it was just a joke. It was mockery. Teams walking back and forth, swapping end zones every attempt. Felt like nobody would ever get those 2 yards. Illinois finally did on a little toss from backup quarterback Brandon Peters to Casey Washington. 2 straight losses for Penn State. You can absolutely forgive the loss at Iowa 2 weeks ago. Sean Clifford gets hurt. I don't think you can forgive this. Multiple touchdown favorite, believe 3 touchdown favorite off of bye week. They're clearly looking ahead to Ohio State next week. They're clearly still licking their wounds from the Iowa game. Sean Clifford did not look fully healthy. Maybe James Franklin's already looking at the USC coaching search or the LSU coaching search, or I don't know what was going on. Franklin even said, obviously, we did not have our guys ready to play. It was just an embarrassing loss, especially considering this week Illinois head coach Brett Bielema said his team wasn't that good, in fewer words or more words, or I'm obviously paraphrasing. We did do an entire episode on the College Football Daily on Bielema's comments. So a really, really, really bad day for Penn State football. The shine is off. What was a fun season, and they still got to play Michigan. They still got to play Michigan State. They still got to play Ohio State. And if Illinois is rushing for 357 yards on you, I'm a little bit worried about what those teams are going to do to Penn State. So if Penn State starts spiraling and James Franklin starts flirting with someone out in LA or down in Baton Rouge, and we get shades of Jimbo Fisher and his Christmas tree on his way to College Station, this could get a little bit ugly. So that's my monologue about Penn State. Here's Brandon Marcello on Oregon. Okay, Brandon Marcello joins us right now. Brandon, we were just talking before we hit record about how we're a little more well-rested than usual on this Sunday morning, considering we didn't have to stay up too late watching Pac-12 After Dark. All the games were in the afternoon. That included Oregon's win over UCLA. I'm going to shower some love on Oregon and Kayvon Thibodeau and the Ducks for winning this game in which they were underdogs, even though it wasn't always pretty. But I do like your takeaway that you're about to share. And like, it was a nice win, but it's not enough to make you a full-time believer in Oregon.
No, I mean, listen, Thibodeau is amazing. And that play where UCLA decided to put a tight end on him to block was hilarious. But, you know, listen, Oregon's got a quarterback issue right now with Anthony Brown. And while he makes some plays with his feet, we're starting to see that averageness of him kind of peek through here. I mean, we've seen it throughout his career, including at Boston College. He's just an average passer, and he makes bad decisions here and there. And he did so against UCLA. I mean, through 2 picks. And really, if you look back since that Ohio State game, he has not been very, very good. He has thrown four touchdowns against three interceptions. In the month of October, he's only thrown one touchdown against three interceptions, including, of course, that October 2nd loss at Stanford. And for Oregon, a team that is propping itself up as a playoff contender, you're just waiting for them to stumble once again after that Stanford loss. Five of their seven games have been decided by one touchdown or less. One of those is a loss. One of those is an incredible, thrilling win at Ohio State. But do you believe that if you put Ohio State and Oregon on a neutral field right now, that Oregon would win again? I don't. So I think we're in a position here. We got to look at the reality of the situation. Anthony Brown, passing-wise, with his grade, according to Pro Football Focus, ranks 144th out of 177 quarterbacks nationally. And that's nothing new. He's been like that every single season that he's been graded by Pro Football Focus. And so we're in a spot here where I think that there's a small percentage of Oregon fans are going, where's Ty Thompson? What would he look like out there? And you're not going to know now. They're past the point of no return. They are who they are. Their quarterback is going to be their quarterback, unless they like lose two more games and the season's just a wash. But I just get the feeling that we're going to enter 2022 and they're going to move on to the Ty Thompson era and they're going to get a taste of that. And they're going to go, wow, why didn't we move on earlier to this? Because it just seems like we're in a stopgap year with Anthony Brown at quarterback. And right now the Ducks have some false hope because they beat Ohio State earlier this season. And I don't think this is going to end very well this season for the Ducks.
Yeah, the time for a QB change would have been, if you were looking at it in the summertime, you would have projected a loss at Ohio State, and then it would have been Stony Brook and Arizona when you would have figured that out.
Right.
The thing with Brown is he was brought in last year as a grad transfer just to make sure Tyler Shuck had some competition. Like the 2021 Oregon starter was supposed to be Tyler Shuck. So this is, I agree with everything you just said. And someone was going to pull up Oregon's schedule and go, you know, they're only favored, they're projected to lose according to ESPN at Utah. But that's not really like the big games aren't always the problem for Oregon. They play up to competition and down to it. But if you think that Oregon's going to run the table at Washington and versus Washington State and at Utah and against a really good Oregon State team, I think you're kind of crazy. So they are a winner. They won. Kayvon Thibodeaux, I think, is locking up the number one overall spot 2022 with how bad the quarterback class is, Brandon. But in the scope of the playoff, which is what we're talking about now, a week away from the first rankings, it's like Oregon's in that second or maybe third stratosphere because you got Oklahoma vying for something. You got Cincinnati needs to win out. What happens in the SEC? Ohio State looks incredible. And Notre Dame is even there with one loss. So there's a lot to sort out, but you know, Oregon can't feel too good about itself. Was there anybody on Saturday who you watched or you just checked out the box score and kind of flipped around and you're like, man, that was a show-stopping win. That thing that impressed me a lot, because I'm looking at the slate and it's like, yeah, we go Wake Forest and we go Iowa State. I don't know. What do you say?
There was two. Ohio State just absolutely whipping Indiana. And I know Indiana's having its issues and dealing with things at quarterback right now, but that's still a good Indiana team. And they just whipped them in the first half of that game. I mean, just did whatever they wanted, especially on the ground. I mean, Ohio State looks like a playoff team right now. I don't think anybody would argue against that. And they're really probably the most fun team to watch right now in the country, Ohio State. And I thought we might be talking about Alabama at this point. And I mean, Alabama's still struggling to kind of stop teams defensively. And then Iowa State, that was an impressive and really entertaining game against Oklahoma State. It's crazy. Oklahoma State being where they ranked, and yet they were the underdog on the road by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're expecting a close game there because that's what Oklahoma State and Iowa State do to each other. And that was a big win for Iowa State. You just knew it was probably going to happen at some point. And that was a very entertaining performance and one that I think Iowa State really needed to kind of get that fan base back going because it's really been a disappointing year for them. But, you know, outside that, I look across, I'm trying to see like impressive performances, whether it's team-wide or just player. And those are the two that stand out. Caleb Williams, I know everybody's talking about him ripping the ball out of Kenny Brooks's hand and getting that first down, but you watch the first half with him, wasn't so good. That's the thing this year. It's just like, we're literally like, it's like the scales of justice and it's just evened out over and over and over again. It's the bad and the good. And we're not seeing those great elite moments week after week. It's usually like good, then bad, then bad, then good. Right now, Ohio State to me is the only team, even though they lost to Oregon, of course, the only team that has responded and just is absolutely bludgeoning opponents at this point, outside of Georgia, of course. So yeah, Ohio State and Iowa State, two most impressive teams to me this week.
Yeah, you know Ohio State's back when the game, the primetime game is not even watchable. Like it kind of felt like a mid-2010s college football night. So props to them. I'm going to throw Pitt out for you, Brandon. I'm scratching my head here wondering how this this team lost to Western Michigan, because it would be 7-0 if it didn't. I get that things happen. 27-17 win over Clemson. Clemson jumped out to a 7-0 lead, and then it just felt over, even after Pitt's first touchdown, maybe. And I don't think 27-17 even really does it justice for how good Pitt looked. Without their star receiver, Jordan Addison, in the first half, without their leading rusher Addison in the second half and leading rusher in the second half as well. You know, with Kenny Pickett not throwing for five touchdowns, he just had 200 and 300 yards. The defense looked good against a totally broken Clemson offense. You might have, you know, more of a takeaway on Clemson here. DJ got benched for a little bit, but Pitt, I think we're going to have, I'm pulling it up now. The ACC, it's maybe our most fun chaotic conference, but it's starting to get a little bit of clarity here. I think Pitt's going to come out of the Coastal, and I think Wake Forest is going to come out of the Atlantic. And one of my losers from Saturday would be NC State. You can't lose that game at Miami. And they lost, so they lose a game on Wake Forest in the Atlantic. But Wake versus Pitt, I don't think either of those teams would make the playoff, but it was a big win for Pitt. And Wake Forest had a great win, too, at Army. They kind of ran it up on them. So,
yeah, 70 points despite only holding the ball for a little over 17 minutes. Crazy. 70 points in 17 minutes of possession.
450-ish yards and five tutties for Sam Hartman.
Crazy. But, you know, Pitt, I mean, it's Kenny Pickett, man. That's what that team is. And his toughness is exactly what you would expect out of like a fifth-year guy, you know. And what he was doing there in the final 5 minutes of that game, not just with his arm, but picking up first downs and just really on the ground and pushing that team to a victory and trying to ice that away. That's what you want to see out of a quarterback. And listen, Clemson's terrible this year. They're not just bad, they're terrible. And that defense, I think, its back is broken now after going to Pitt.
They can only hang in there for so long.
Yeah.
Psychologically, when you know your offense is not going to give you 20 points, literally.
And I think that Pitt, listen, Clemson's bad. They should have beaten Clemson anyway, but I think they've caught Clemson right at the right time now, because Clemson, I think, is just, they're psychologically checked out at this point now. But Pitt looks good to me. And, you know, Kenny Pickett, we talk about Anthony Brown, Oregon. Kenny Pickett is like kind of what you would want Anthony Brown to be, as far as just a guy who's really consistent and can really, you know, have some explosive plays for you, but you kind of know what to expect from him week to week. With Anthony Brown, you don't really know. And so when you're talking about fifth or even 6 year guys like those guys, you know, I wonder what Kenny Pickett would do right now for Oregon, so to speak. But, you know, listen, Pickett, should he be in the Heisman race? Yeah, absolutely. Will he win it? Probably not. You know, that Western Michigan, you know, loss, you know, just look at the defense there. That was surprising to me, the way they performed in that game. But yeah, Kenny Pickett, one of the great stories this season, one to really watch. And they should definitely, I have more confidence in them than Wake Forest at this point to win the ACC title.
Yeah, a little bit nastier to give in context how old Kenny Pickett is. I remember him first from in 2017. The year the turnover chain was invented and Mark Richt was the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Kenny Pickett, as a true freshman, knocked off number two.
Ah, yeah.
In Heinz.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been around. He's been around for a while. And while we're on Miami, I mean, we're fully getting ready for the Canes in the next few weeks to make a move on Manny Diaz. Brandon and I sat here last week talking on a podcast about how LSU had fought for Coach O and maybe saved his job for another week. And like 20 minutes later, they fired him. So I'm not going to do that here. But that was a good win for Miami. They're on their third string quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke. He threw four touchdowns. NC State's absolutely kicking itself. I want to jump back to Tuscaloosa, Tennessee, Alabama. You and I were both tweeting positive things about Tennessee. They're certainly not going to be a winner. And it says how good Alabama is that they ended up covering 25-point spread when the game was a 7-point affair at one point in the fourth quarter. But I tweeted like that Tennessee is going to be able to sell whatever vision it wants to sell to recruits and to transfers this offseason. And then, you know, a few minutes later, Tennessee, surrenders touchdown after touchdown, turnover, and they lose 52-24. But I still think it's true. And I think the people who are trolling that tweet are probably didn't watch the full game because yes. It was a good game and are forgetting the context here that Tennessee blew the whistle on its own coach to hire a new one in January. They lost all of their best players via transfer portal. They've totally turned over the roster. The recruiting from the last few years hadn't really panned out. I think Josh Heupel, and he wasn't the first choice, but he's done an incredible job. And it's cool to see. I'm not the biggest fan of Tennessee's fan base. We saw what they did with how they handle coaching searches and what they did last week. And the pitchfork and torch mentality. But I got to give them props here. I mean, I know you didn't even cover, but I would walk away from that game very encouraged about the future of Vol football.
Yeah, these last 2 weeks, Ole Miss and Bama, I love the way they performed. They hung in there. They didn't give up, especially in that Ole Miss game. And they did that in spite of some of the fans throwing trash on the field. I mean, they almost lost the game before you have a chance to try and win it because of the fans, which is just despicable. But I love the way this offense is competing with Hendon Hooker, quarterback. I didn't think he should have been the guy. And yet he came in because of injury and has done a remarkable job. It's done a fantastic job for them. And listen, they've held it together. The worst thing that could happen to this team right now is for them to start thinking, well, we didn't beat Bama and we had a chance against Ole Miss. It's frustrating. And they just come out flat these next few weeks. If they can keep up this momentum, the wins are going to come. And the game I would have circled on that calendar right now, if I was Tennessee, is Kentucky. You got a chance to beat Kentucky. And Kentucky's not a blue blood program or whatever, but they're the second best team behind Georgia in the East. You beat Kentucky, you're going to have some momentum going. And I think if they can keep this up the next 2-3 weeks, that is only help put some jet fuel into that recruiting tank.
I have like three quick buy or sells for you, and then we'll get out of here. Buy or sell, Notre Dame is in the playoff mix.
Oh, sell hard. No, I mean, just no.
6-1. Yeah, not good. Just, yeah. No, okay. All
right. Nope.
Notre Dame gets so much playoff traction, I had to throw it to you. I don't know how to frame this buy or sell question. Did you learn more about Texas A&M or South Carolina on Saturday night?
Learn more about South Carolina. The inability to be able to run the ball is very concerning to me. I mean, we're all talking about their quarterback situation. Obviously, they've just been dealt blow after blow, but not being able to run the ball, very concerning, because that's what you got to do at South Carolina to be successful. And that doesn't bode well for the future.
Yeah, you should probably have your coaching carousel updates ready to go if they make a move on Marcus Satterfield, offensive coordinator. The fan base is just done with them. Last one, Brandon. If UTEP wins this weekend, buy or sell, love it or leave it, however you want to put it, you will be getting credentials for UTSA at UTEP in El Paso on November 6th.
I was talking to Chris Summer about this last week. I was like, dude, you got to pitch it to Trey. Someone's got to be there for that, because that's huge. And he's got an in with UTSA. So I'd buy it.
Right.
But send Hummer, man. Hummer knows all about it, man. He would have a great, great story. I hope UTEP, don't screw this up, UTEP. Please don't, because this is going to be huge.
I'm going to tell him to drive.
Oh, no.
It's the worst drive ever. I did the Austin to El Paso drive when I was a kid, man. And it's just, So that's a fun story. I love those stories, like, because it's playoff time, right? Like, the rankings are about to start coming out. It's time. I mean, I just threw out a ridiculous Notre Dame hypothetical at you. But the other cool part of November is we really get a good idea of these G5 teams who are having these out-of-nowhere seasons. And for UTSA and UTEP to be one loss between the two of them is remarkable. Brandon Marcello, did I forget anything? Anything else you want to mention? Or are we good here on week eight?
No, I can't wait for this next week, though. Gigantic games.
Early lead on Michigan State, Brandon?
I'm going to say Michigan State. They seem like the more complete team right now, especially offensively.
Yeah, a little more explosive. Cool. All right, Brandon Marcello, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate Marcello joining us. You got to make sure you read his overreactions column every weekend, Sunday, Monday. It's a filled to the brim, and he's not afraid to let it rip. So enjoy it. Our producer, Lance Glenn, thanks for putting this together. Lance, appreciate you working on the weekends. And my name is Trey Scott. We'll have a fun week, another fun week on the College Football Daily coming up. Enjoy your Monday. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What about the charges?
You'll be going home.
murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.